Welcome to another edition of In Focus. Bob Perot with you. And today we are very pleased to welcome back via Zoom the mayor of Smiths Falls, Mr. Sean Pankow. Sean, thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you, Bob. Great to be here.
We want to get right to this hospital issue right off the bat so we can move on to talk about other things that are going on in the town of Smiths Falls. Lots of positive things going on, and we want to focus on that. But we have to talk about the situation at the hospital right now. We do know that the Perth and Smiths Falls District Hospital is going through a staffing crunch. And then, of course, the COVID situation made matters worse. And as a result, the emergency department had to shut down in Perth. It's still closed. We're waiting for word on when that will be reopening. Have you heard anything on that front?
Nothing on reopening, other than obviously the closure has been extended. Very frustrating, difficult situation. And especially in summertime when people are more active, we have more people in our region, cottagers, campers, and visitors. I guess what we are fortunate to have is two sites to our hospital, two emergency departments, and to my understanding, Smiths Falls is doing a really good job of picking up the excess work that's happening. Obviously, it's more inconvenient for people in the Perth area to have to travel another 15 minutes down the road to Smiths Falls in order to get emergency help. But I mean, overall, it's just a sign of a bigger issue. We know the premiers are discussing it. We know there are other hospitals across the province that are facing similar challenges. And I think overall, I don't know what the short-term fix is or the long-term fix, but we know that it's a problem that needs to be addressed at the higher level. We know that the premier and the province have to find a way to make sure these units are staffed effectively and that there is proper support especially for the RNs and nurses who are working in that environment, who have worked under very difficult conditions over the last, 27, 28 months. And many times in frustrating, challenging situations. And so people are human. Nurses are human. They need a break, and we can't continue to stress them the way we have.
Should municipalities, as part of their strategic plans, include more focus on recruiting healthcare workers? I know that we've talked in the past about efforts to recruit physicians and family doctors and so on to Smiths Falls. That's something that the town has always been pretty active in. And certainly the opening of the nurse practitioner-led clinic helped things a lot in the town of Smiths Falls a few years back now. But should there be something in the strategic plan that says the town is going to work with the local hospital and healthcare providers to help recruit?
I'm not sure. I think obviously we have a responsibility to develop a community that people want to live in, the amenities, the features, the quality of life. And then I would suspect we can work with a hospital, which have the primary objective of hiring people, to just try and help communicate and let them know that they're valued in our community. I don't see us moving to the point where we'd be offering us municipal incentives like we have in the past for doctors. But I think overall, it's more a matter of trying to build an environment that medical professionals and all people would want to live in. And that includes, of course, having great educational facilities, the schools that we have, the quality of our parks and recreational facilities, and just having that environment that's going to be attractive to people to want to move and live here.
And we're going to get into, you know, some of the things that are going to attract people in just a moment. But I just wanted to mention, you know, we get comments from people who think that the Smiths Falls site of the hospital is being favored with a new MRI machine and then surgeries being scheduled there. I'm not going to ask you if you think that's true. I'm going to ask you what the benefit is of having the two sites up and running and having two emergency departments up and running. That, I mean, it isn't only good for the town of Perth. It's good for the town of Smiths Falls and the entire catchment area that the hospitals serve.
Well, if you look at the fact that people in Perth or Smiths Falls have two hospitals within about 15 minutes, which if you lived in the city of Ottawa or Toronto, in all probability or most places, you're not going to be within 15 minutes of a hospital. So I think we're blessed there. The two ERs we're extremely fortunate to have that. Well, there is some crossover and similar services in both locations. I mean, both have diagnostic services and labs, et cetera. It's still important to make sure that the hospital leadership places the most important, I guess, the amenities where they believe it's most appropriate for the reasons that they believe are suitable. So even if for people of the Perth area, having a CT, an MRI within 15 minutes, it I think is extremely important. And whether it was in Smiths Falls or Perth, it's still a matter. We have one at our hospital. We have two sites, but we have one hospital.
So if they move some of those amenities to Perth, it would be the same reasoning in your mind. You know, it's 15 minutes away.
Yeah. If the hospital leadership believe that the next piece of technology comes down the pipe that's important to have, should land in Perth, that's fine. Again, for the people of our community, it's still pretty convenient to head to Perth to get that type of service.
And you don't need to deal with the Ottawa traffic as you're driving that 15 minutes, which exactly. Is great. Yeah. Sean, thanks for, you know, addressing that subject. I know it's certainly a sensitive one in the court of public opinion right now, but I appreciate your comments on that. Now, let's talk about some good things that are going on in Smiths Falls. You talk about hard to drive. It's been a little bit difficult as of late driving around the town of Smiths Falls over the summer. We knew it was going to be a pretty heavy construction system or season rather, but just tell us about the rewards that all this pain that we're going through right now are going to bring.
Well, it's that short-term pain for the long-term gain. And of course, back with street phase two is somewhat disruptive, not as disruptive as phase one. It's certainly easier to get around. We've only got, I guess, about another maybe 2 to 2.5 months of construction there, and that should be wrapped up. So by the end of September, that will be completed. And then, of course, we've got a whole new streetscape. We've got the DBA is planning a big party for October 1st to celebrate the full reopening of Beckwith Street. But I think we have to look at some of the measures taken in the past, which have made a huge difference. And I'll focus for a moment on the Lombard and Abbott intersection. And of course, we know that when the Abbott Street Swing Bridge is out, it's been caused significant traffic backups on Abbott. And the old lights were there before we did the intersection would result in several minutes before you'd ever get through there, even after the bridge reopened. And I've been stuck there twice in recent times. And once I was the first car in line, I was 7 minutes, which was not an unpleasant 7 minutes, sitting there watching the boats go by and enjoying the view for a little bit. And then the next time was almost the last car down by Rita Lumber. And frankly, I was there for 2 minutes from the time I had to put the car in park until the time I was through the intersection of Lombard and Abbott. It was only 2 minutes and I was way down the queue. So I think those improvements have really helped traffic flows there, the right turn lane, of course, and the signals, which are coordinated to remain open longer to let that queue of traffic to flow through. So as much as we still have a lot of challenges and summer is busier here, once Beckwith is completed, I think we'll see traffic flows moving much better throughout the town.
And, you know, when people bring up Abbott, they often will bring up in tandem with that the Confederation Bridge. I know that this is an issue that just will not go away. You have people who say rebuild it, reopen it, but there's a certain process that has been underway for a long time. You have to admit, it's been a long time that this has been a topic of discussion. Where are we with that, and what would you like to see happen there?
Well, we have almost to the finish line on that, meaning council will be making a decision on that this summer. And staff and consultant are in the process of finalizing the report, which will bring forward the options and the projected costing options, projected costs to go with each option. So it's something that, from a priority standpoint, it can't rank up there with the Beckwith Street redevelopment as an example. So when we're trying to prioritize all the capital work we need to do, things which have lower usage levels, so say like side streets and bridges that don't have a lot of traffic would not rank up there with some of the other more major priorities like Lombard Abbott intersection, resurfacing on Lombard to, of course, the whole Beckwith Street redevelopment. So it's now come up. We'll be making a decision on it. And until we see the costing, I think it's hard to truly commit to one option or another. In many ways, I think we've learned, though, that traffic flows can be the improvements at Lombard and Abbott have significantly improved traffic flows there. We know that we have been able to manage without that bridge, and of course, we could continue to. So if a pedestrian bridge could be built for $500,000 and we could put maybe benches and tables and maybe some shelters on there to create an environment for people to enjoy the water, that might be one option that's worth considering. if a single lane vehicular bridge is going to be $3 million, that's a real difficult decision to make, understanding that $3 million can be applied in a lot of places. But there's going to be a lot of public feedback, which will be considered in the process, and that decision will be made. It's a beautiful part of town. We want to make sure we do the right things, and we will be there.
Yeah, for sure. And once whatever is done there, it's certainly going to beautify that area, because that is a bit of an eyesore when you go down there and you have all that beauty around. So well maintained. We've talked about it before. The park areas are so well maintained. It is seamless between Parks Canada and the town of Smiths Falls. Like, you can't tell who's maintaining what, because they're, you know, just absolutely gorgeous there. So yeah, it would be nice to have that taken care of. There are three projects I want to ask you about that speak to what you were talking about earlier when we talk about a strategic plan and about making the town better. These are three very different things. One of them, the first one, is playgrounds. I love the idea that there are new playgrounds that are coming. I have to say, on a personal note, that won't be next to water, so you can bring a kid to a playground and not have them come home soaking wet. But two different playgrounds that are coming in, and I know that for parents who just want to take their kids to do something different, this is going to be a great option.
Yeah, and I would say these are overdue. We certainly committed at the start of this term to park improvements, and we've made a lot of improvements in our parks, especially at Lower Reach Park. But the next phase, of course, is Victoria Park and Highland Corbett, where these play structures are going in. And Highland Corbett has long suffered with inadequate play equipment there. I think the last time they had anything, it was equipment that was moved from Lower Reach to Highland Corbett and didn't have a great lifespan there. So it's going to be great to see these happen. It's a pretty big commitment, but $250,000, but very suitable. So Victoria Park, that structure is aged and wearing and frankly end of life. So these improvements were well received by the community, and we received our Parks and Recreation Master Plan last night. And while it doesn't get into the grander details of park improvements, it gives us sort of an oversight on the various areas of town that do need attention. And I'm sure the next council will be committed to following through on what was started with this council to ensure that all of our parks get the attention they need in the next few years.
Yeah, and that's great to hear. It absolutely is. And now the next one, of course, is something that we've been talking about with planners for a while, and that has to do with the health hub. And there is a proposal to put it in a certain spot in Smiths Falls, of course, right in town, that isn't too far away from one of those parks that we just spoke about.
Yeah, and this is a, I would say, significant priority for the town, for RCHS, and certainly for myself. Understanding how significant a role RCHS and all of the allied partners play in the health and wellness of our community. We had a lot of discussion over how the town could help ensure that this proposal, which has been on the shelf for a number of years, probably a decade, could happen and could happen in town and could happen in an area where it would make the most meaningful impact. So by providing, by participating in an expression of interest, council's decision to ultimately provide what is a Highland Park portion of Highland Corbett Park to RCHS for that health and community hub, really, I guess, hopefully gets it over the finish line. Of course, we know the province committed to a planning grant, which is a real positive sign. We now have an MPP who definitely understands health hubs, and I'm sure is committed to moving this forward with the Minister of Health towards ultimate funding needed to do this. And in the end, we could have a facility that will have probably 8 to 10 allied partners that will provide incredible benefits to the future of our community. And in addition to that, there will be community space. And we've talked about the merits of creating recreational and cultural space within that hub. And that really emerged out of conversations we had with residents of Empress and Sussex in that area last summer. We had a community consultation last August. We had participation from that entire broader community there. And we did surveys with people. And one of the things we heard is the need for indoor recreational and cultural space within that neighborhood. And so by participating and partnering with RCHS, I think we have a great opportunity to really enhance the quality of life and the health and wellness of that neighborhood, that end of town. But of course, this project will benefit the entire community, and the benefits will expand beyond our borders into our neighboring townships, and will provide great overall benefit to the entire region.
Yeah, and it's in an area of town where people say, you know, we never really get anything. We have to, if we don't have cars, we need to walk, or we need to bike, or whatever it takes a little. I mean, it's going to be a game changer for that part of town, especially the community center part of it, to be able to, you know, host events and things right there. If you have the playground near it, oh my goodness, this is going to be quite the multi-use space.
Exactly. And your point about transportation is one of the key drivers of putting this in an area where a lot of people don't have transportation. And we experienced that with the consultation we held last summer. The health unit held a pop-up vaccination clinic and had outstanding response. And it wasn't that people that were going were resistant to getting a vaccine. It's that they were resistant to walking to the community center. Get a vaccine and have to walk home. Not sure how you're going to feel. So by bringing healthcare closer to the neighborhoods that may need it the most, say the long-term benefits there are really good, and it makes a big difference to people who don't have transportation. And we know there's probably about 1 in 5 of our residents who don't have access to a car. With no public transportation and with cab rates being fairly expensive, bringing amenities close to the people makes a big difference.
Absolutely. And sort of on that note as well, bringing services to the town of Smiths Falls, we all know about the issues going on with food insecurity. So the third point that I was going to ask you about would be the proposed food hub in conjunction with the Table Community Food Center out of Perth. We've spoken to Ramsey about this a number of times. I know you and I have spoken about it too. You smile when I bring it up. So it's obviously a project that you're all for. And I know town council's behind.
Yeah, and this is something that efforts towards a food hub of sorts has been under discussion for over 3 years. And it really started with a group of us who, including our faith community, who were dedicated to recognizing that we need to do more and we need a centralized location. We had a lot of community meals happening before the pandemic even, but they were at each different church location or the Legion, et cetera. And having one central hub means not just the provision of meals, it can mean so much more. And talking about a health environment is where you can bring health services to people. You can provide free Wi-Fi, you can provide coffee and light snacks and an environment where people can connect, try and get out of their homes and into a place where everyone feels safe and accommodated and welcomed. And the quality of life benefits that can emerge from simply having those human connections and having some access to help it may not have otherwise received before. So throughout the process, two biggest challenges really were finding an organization that would take the lead on it. Of course, we couldn't put that pressure on a faith-based organization. We had to come up with something else. And secondly, find a location. And so the Table's willingness stepped up through last year, has been taking the lead on this, and has demonstrated that they are so far very willing to open a second location, not quite the same thing they have in Perth, but to open a second location in Smiths Falls. And secondly, we're narrowing down a location. And I think the location that will probably be revealed fairly soon is the most suitable location this could ever land in. Very central, very appropriate, and will be sort of built to accommodate the hub. So again, when you talk about the health and wellness of a community, we want to make sure that health and wellness extends to everybody. And this type of facility will be welcoming and accommodating and helpful to everyone. And even it's a matter of giving people a place to get out of the heat or a place to get out of the cold, a place to sit and simply maybe play cards or play a game or read a book, whatever. I think it's going to really make a difference for our community.
Yeah, and get guidance on a number of different things if you're dealing with bill issues, all sorts of things that services that can be offered and meant to work alongside the existing food bank.
Yes. So it's not going to be a food bank. The food bank provides emergency meals emergency food to our community. And I understand from conversations with the manager there that demand has risen significantly in recent months. So they've got a huge challenge in trying to meet the needs and demand of our community. But the food hub will not be providing, at least at this stage, my understanding, will not be providing emergency food. We'll leave that up to the food bank.
And just a couple more quick things for you before I let you go. We'll talk about this one in more depth in the coming months when we have Aaron Lee from Interval House on alongside with you. And of course, this is the mosaic that is planned to honor victims of gender-based violence in Smiths Falls. There's a couple more of these mosaics that have already popped up in Lanark County, been very well received, but it's certainly an incredible project. Just your initial thoughts on this, if you could. Again, we'll get into more depth on this in the coming weeks.
Well, when Aaron initially approached me last fall, of course, response was absolutely, we need to find a way to make this work. And all communities feel the impacts of gender-based violence. And of course, we don't have to think back very far to remember an incident last Christmas that was horrific. And we know that providing some a place of reflection, a place of remembrance, a place for discussion, that safe place is very important. And these mosaics in other places have done extremely well or very well received by the community. So the plan, of course, is to put this into our new town square, which will be developed starting soon, but over the next several months. The workshop built construction will be happening this week at a Memorial Community Center. Thursday and Friday are workshops for people who have not yet registered for that. So the design is complete. Now the work begins. And once the components are put together this week, the plan, of course, will be to install that, I think, in early September once the town square is ready to receive it. So I think it's a great effort by Interval House, and I think we're incredibly pleased to be able to have that in our community.
And of course, in addition to a place of reflection, you know, remembrance and all that, I mean, those have somber undertones, but this is going to be a place where people can come and celebrate awareness and celebrate strides that have been made. So it is, and it's going to be absolutely beautiful as well. So it's kind of like a war memorial, you know. It's kind of like a cenotaph. It's a beautiful spot to reflect, but also to remember and celebrate.
Yeah, and there's going to be some purple benches around it, and we're also going to put I think one or two purple benches around the waterfront to make that connection. And to give people that opportunity to recognize that you can be different places in town and have those conversations and try to educate and inform. And so when you're walking through the park, or you're walking through the town square with your, let's say, teenage daughter or younger daughter and have those and sons, right?
Yeah.
And teach the children and help them understand. That's, you're going to shift, you can shift behaviors when you shift. You can shift behaviors through education and understanding, and that will be a great opportunity for people to have those conversations, to help inform, to help the next generation coming understand that these types of behaviors are not acceptable, and it has to change with parents and change with educators.
Now, before I ask you my final question, is there anything that you wanted to mention that we didn't cover here today that, you know, maybe coming down the pipe, or something that you'd just like to mention as an accomplishment or celebration?
Well, I think we're still very active on the housing front. Of course, we've got more overall housing construction going on than we've ever seen before. And last night we approved phase two of Bellamy Farm subdivision, another 164 homes, I believe. And to my understanding, all or most of those are already sold. So high demand. But on the affordable front, we have a project of 44 chambers. There's also a second project of 188 chambers, which the county is building with a local builder. And it's only five units, but it's four one bedroom, one bachelor. Four of them will be universally accessible. So all ground floor, every unit will have their own little piece of lawn and outside entrances. It's going to be a real addition to our community. And obviously, we know we need more. Council is continuing to look at partnerships and to look at other possible locations for additional affordable housing in the future. But we recognize that the cost of housing with inflation as well, The environment in Smiths Falls and elsewhere is getting very challenging for people living on lower incomes. And we're committed to ensuring to do what we can. The food hub is a great example of how we can provide support. The health and community hub is another environment which will provide great support. But we're also focusing on trying to ensure that we have the housing, the affordable housing options that our citizens will need.
Yeah. And the playgrounds, don't forget those. I mean, that's it's a huge option for parents. You know, it's a no cost option if it's and if they're around the area, it's something that you can do to get out and so on. And of course, that is that's great support for people of all income levels, but certainly those who are looking to find something fun to do with their kids and want to save some money in the process. So yeah, lots going on.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Final question for you. There's an election coming up in October. Are you running again for mayor, sir?
There's an election? I hadn't heard that. Oh, no decision at this moment. I'll be making a decision or announcement within the next week or two.
Okay. I had a feeling that was going to be the answer I got from you or something like that. But I mean, I had to ask anyway. Sure. Sean, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Really appreciate how honest you are with our listeners and the people of Smiths Falls as well. Really appreciate that. And the update. You're welcome here anytime. We look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks for the opportunity, Bob.
You're very welcome. Our guest today on In Focus, Mayor of Smiths Falls, Mr. Sean Panko. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bob Perreault. Have a wonderful afternoon.